This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Grow to change or change to grow? Okay. It's late in the afternoon, eh? Are you awake? Was it the afternoon nap that is catching up on you now? Grow to change or change to grow? You know, I've looked at our little family, and yesterday we drove through from the UK, starting at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then last night coming here at 2:30, or was it this morning 2:30, at the Van der Veen's house, because we were in, what's the place called? Antwerpen, my wife is giving me some indications there. Antwerpen for 3.5 or more hours, in traffic. So we came at about 2:30 this morning. But it's interesting because you see a lot of character development happening in the back seat. And even, you know, some slaps from the front seat to keep them quiet. Okay, so Anna Marta is my daughter is laughing. But it's strange how when you are confined in a little space, how you can actually sort out one another and deal with a lot of issues at once over a weekend like this. So yes, I am a pastor and my wife is very godly, but we also struggle in times like that to keep our godliness. So so it's always interesting to see when as a family, there's some defining moments that we walk through. My daughter, my eldest one, Anna, is certainly on a different growth curve than I am. Okay, that doesn't mean I'm much more mature than her. It just means that it's different. There's something that God is doing in my life that's different than what she's experiencing at this time. The same with my wife. Now, we've got a little one, Zoe. She's running around. She's probably the one making the noise while we were trying to worship. Her growth curve is a lot different as well. She's finding her identity now. She's 7 years old. And I promise you, she makes sure that our characters are solid, okay? Because she's in your space the whole time. And, you know, I can just see how she agitates her sisters at the back seat, okay? We've got three daughters, so... We actually wanted to come through with the Van der Veen's vehicle, and then just before leaving, we realized that the insurance couldn't be sorted out, so we had to come with our little Beetle, all the way from the UK. And so the three of them on the back seat, and this is interesting stuff, okay, with the suitcase. Yeah, so Zoe is sitting with her legs on the suitcase, and it's interesting time. But the point is, all of us go through different stages of growth within this family. And we must respect what God is doing within the life cycle of our little family. But God is heading somewhere with our family to be as effective as it can be while we are here on earth. Now, we also realize that Anna is not going to be with us for many years from now because she's already exploring options and what she's going to do after school and stuff like that. So we've got limited time to actually be shaped and formed together as a tool to fulfill God's purposes in our lives. Now for you and I, it means that a lot of changes happens in this journey. A lot of things happen in our lives in order for us to not just grow, but to be forged into the tool that God wants to use. And change is not easy. But we cannot afford not to change if we want to grow. Are you with me this afternoon? Okay, go and read Romans 5, James 1, all those nice scriptures that is really going to complicate your life. But I want to tell you, the only way that you will get to that place of maturity is a place of change. And change is a deliberate choice. Now, as Tien told you now, you know, within his life, a very deliberate change happened that made a lot of changes in and around his not just social life, but also in his family and his approach to life in itself. But I can tell you, for us as believers, we often don't take in account how much change take from us and how much we really need to put into adapting and embracing the change that God wants to bring in our lives. And, the beautiful thing is that for us to get to that place of wholeness means that God can walk to that destiny with us. Now, I want to say to you, each of you this afternoon, and Tian said it already, God has a destiny in store for you. God has a promise for your life that is not just individual, but it's collective with the people that you are busy responding with, because God is going to use them in your life and through your life to be shaped and formed to a mighty tool that He will use to defeat the plans of the enemy. Okay. Woo! Are you with me this afternoon? Because I can tell you, many times we think that this is only an individual walk. We think that as we approach life and as we walk this journey, that we can fulfill that within our individualistic approach. And yet, God brings us the picture of disciples, of the fact that He raised up disciples to get to their destiny collectively. And that meant that they had to make a lot of changes in their lives in order to follow Jesus, but also to fulfill other people's destinies through their lives. And you know what? Disciples actually means disciplined ones. We know that. But also that means that for Jesus, it meant that He had 12 people under discipline that He was busy raising up to send out to the world to change and transform the world. Okay, this is a difficult one. There was 12 guys under discipline for 3 years walking with Jesus, because a disciple means a person under discipline to come to wholeness so that they can fulfill their destiny. Are you still with me? There are some building blocks that I want to put in your life today. It means that there's some correction that happens in our lives as we walk this journey, that we must allow people and, you know, the community that God has placed around us to form and shape us to become the person that God has called us to. Are you still with me? So in saying that, I want to say to you, we cannot get people to be born again. Okay, can I just get an amen on that one? We cannot make believers. Are you with me? We can make disciples, because that was the command of Jesus. And as Tiens will tell you, when they go into a city, it's the hand of God that they follow to see where God is raising up those believers and igniting the Spirit of God within them so that they can run with a vision. You know, it means that when you are in that little room in the UK, very desperate for God, there's some way that ignition must happen. And no man can do that. There's no man that physically or spiritually can impart into our lives the breath of life. Only God can do that. And I think sometimes the church or the people of God think that they can do it. But we can make disciples. And that's what's so beautiful, about TNC, what you guys are doing. But I want to just say that for us as the church, I want to recognize today that, guys, we can only walk the journey with you. God already ignited within you the Spirit of God, and it's time for you just to listen to His voice. We must just redirect you back to God. Forget about me as the pastor of the house, and I'm not saying be disrespectful, okay? There is a place of, divine order as well. But what I can tell you, I am not your salvation. I am not going to determine your spiritual growth, except for the fact that I can support you and help you and give you some advice. But you will have to go back to God. And you'll have to go and spend some real time with him so that you can hear his voice. And so, being under discipline, being a disciplined one, being a one that God raises up to fulfill the journey, also means that we must come to healing in our lives. Why should we receive healing in our lives? Because the areas that you don't get healed in, the enemy will use to infiltrate your life. Woo, are you with me? There's many Christians walking in church today that is not healed. And the sad reality, and I'm telling you, there's areas in my life that I need healing in, that I'm still struggling through with God. Areas that God puts his finger on and say, listen, it's now time to deal with this issue in your life. Okay? I'm not that holy camoly that I can say that I've arrived. There's many things that God speaks into my life and addresses in my life that is necessary in certain phases. And I want to say to you today, the enemy will infiltrate wherever he gets the opportunity to bring us down. And so within this walk and this journey of growing and changing, it means that we must, healing has a very crucial part in our discipleship process. Are you with me? Now, let's just talk about order then, because if we need healing, it means that we must get order in our lives. Being disciplined ones, being ones under discipline, means that something must be out of place, isn't it not so? You don't need discipline or growth if you're perfect. Are you in agreement? God don't need to be disciplined or discipled. Are you with me? Because God is perfect. So let's talk about order then. That order that God established in our lives that at the end leads us to a place of fulfillment, of destiny, of purpose, of fulfilling his promises in our lives. Now, I just want to quickly say to you, I've got a problem even within the church these days that sometimes we take the grace of Jesus to the next level where we think that Jesus is giving us so much grace that he's not disciplining us as well. That everything about the Old Testament is now redundant. There's no way that we should still live in the law even, because in the New Testament, everything is replaced. And there's a new law and there's a new dispensation where we can do whatever we want to. And so Galatians is a beautiful part of this, and I'm talking about change and about, you know, how we should come to a place of wholeness. Galatians 6, verse 7 to 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now, there's some spiritual laws and there's some physical laws being in place so that you and I will be protected in our growth so that we can become those whole people. Okay? Now, both of them are important. Some people think that it's only spiritual laws. Some, you know, would say that, you know, we must make sure that the spiritual is right in our lives. But the physical laws is as important. Now, there's commandments that Jesus has given. And one of them is the one of reaping whatever you have sown. And is this a spiritual or a physical law? Eunice, you may not answer. Eh? No, you may. Both. Because spiritual as well as physical laws is important in a Christian's life. Now, I want to quickly say to you, I just know that what changed then within the dispensation of Jesus being the graceful one, allowing us to live this life of freedom. We are free from the sin because of the access that we have to Jesus. Now, I just want to quickly read to you Matthew 5, verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've come to abolish them, but I've not come to abolish them, I must just rectify that, but to fulfill them. Listen to this scripture, Matthew 5, verse 18 to 19. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota or dot will pass from the law until it is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so, the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And I don't have enough time now to preach on these things, but I want to just quickly say to you, there's a place of obedience that God allows us in this new dispensation and understanding of what Jesus wants to do in our lives that brings us to healing, to a place where we live a life of overflowing expectation. Now, the consequences of disobedience is evident in so many Christian lives as well. The first commandment. Let's quickly get there. You should not have another idol in your life. Now, can I just say to you today, the result of having other idols in your life, if you serve another religion or another god, guess what? You will be bound to that religion. Woo! Are you still with me? I know there's not a lot of air in this place, but you guys must be focused this afternoon. This is good stuff. I promise you. It can change your life. Because if I look at just the first commandment as an example, I can tell you, whenever we decide to walk in the opposite truth of what God has commanded us to do, it means that we will be bound to that truth. But we will also experience the devastation of the result of what it brings in our lives. And that's why, you know, the Bible even says that God's judgment and His righteousness is on the just and the unjust, and that everyone experiences the same when doing what is good, because you will actually reap the benefits of doing good. I can use another one. Do not do adultery. Now, I know this is a very controversial issue in the church, and I know Tiens has gone through a lot of issues there in South Africa on issues like this now, but the whole thing of, you know, sexual identity, sexual, you know, conversations. And I can say to you, the commandment says that we should not commit adultery. Why? Why was God so tense on not going into adultery? You know why? The question is actually not why did God not, why is God so focused on adultery? The focus is on why is God so passionate about marriage. And so often the world brings us as Christians to a place where they say, oh yeah, no, typical Christians, you know, they're against adultery. No, we are passionate about something, and that is the marriage. Why? Because God is passionate about Jesus and His bride. And just to bring it back again, you know, it says in the word that, you know, man shall become one with his wife. And, you know, whenever we do so, we give a little bit of our soul to our partner. And with everyone that you go into sexual intercourse with, there's a part of your soul that gets connected. Oh, that's not stuff that we should talk about in church, especially not in these days where we are very free about our sexuality. The problem is that nothing has changed within the fact that whoever you sleep with, you are going to share life with. You're going to share your soul with. And so we sit with, you know, within the church, even more than outside of the church many times, with people being connected to 1,000 other people. No wonder that we struggle with identity. Guys, God is not against everything. God is for something. Because God knows how precious it is when a man and a woman comes together and they share their souls together to such a point where I've seen people like Derkan and Renee looks like one another these days just because they're so committed and focused on one another. You know, you look at them and you think, you know, it looks like a picture that you don't want to divide, eh? Are you with me? You know, some married couples start to look like one another. Why? Because they are sharing souls. Hey, Pastor, you are really talking about deep stuff this afternoon. God is committed to his principles, not because he wants to harm us. And so the world often wants to tell us that, you know, you're against everything. We're not against anything. We are for so many things. Because we know that the truth brings us to wholeness. And so people are so messed up these days because they don't want to live and they want to rebel. And I can tell you, we want to, as people, rebel against the principles of God because of our sinful nature. And as soon as we get to that place where, you know, myself and Tien's, you know, had encounters with God where you need to recognize God, okay, you win, okay? I've tried to prove you wrong, but somewhere down the line, you know, I must just admit that you are right and I'm wrong. That moment, we get into a place where we step into God's promises for our lives. Now, does that mean that whatever we do brings us closer to God? Okay, let's get back to the law. If order is established in our lives and we start to do exactly as God wants us to do, is that going to bring us closer to God? Okay, you may not answer next time as well. No, I'm joking. No, you're beautiful. Please go for it. The fact is, it's relationship that changes our lives to a place of intimacy. It's not doing right. But you know what? Growth only happens if we can step up to the plate and say, God, I know why you've sent Jesus. And can we just settle this afternoon? Nothing in the Old Testament changed about the character of God. Woo! Anyone that don't agree with me? God is still the same, Old Testament and New Testament. Okay? Did Jesus change? Jesus did not change because he's part of God. And the character of God being established in our lives means that we have free will. Now, what did change from the Old Testament to the New Testament? Did the consequence of sin change? Okay. Church, I like people to to talk to me. Nothing has changed to the consequence of sin in the New Testament. So what did change? Jesus came. No, you're going to answer now. Jesus came to fulfill the law. What does that mean? There's now a new dispensation, a new covenant, a new understanding of Jesus and our relationship with God. What does that mean? What changed?
Yes or not?
Huh?
Yeah,
please. Yeah, you can answer.
Between the Old and the New Testament, Jesus paid for us, and if we follow him and abide in him and keep trusting him in the process and let him sanctify us.
Okay. So the only thing that changed was the way that we deal with sin. And so we want to have these long debates in church today about, you know, the grace of God and, you know, how it changed in the new dispensation. And, you know, we should not be so tight in the church, you know, about holy lives. And nothing has changed. To say the least, where we are now is to step up and say that we at least now can say that the answer for sin is Jesus Christ, that chose to come into relationship with us, to blow the breath of God within us, have the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, and to be the helper within our lives so that we can become whole people. But that means that we will have to listen. We'll have to step into God's promises for our lives. That means that we will have to allow him to change and transform us. And life gets very interesting when you go into this newborn experience, because now for the first time, things did change. It's actually worse than before sometimes. It feels like it. Because all hell breaks loose when God speaks that spirit within your life. Because then your spirit man starts to be awakened, and for the first time in your life, you realize that there is a battle. Flesh is not in control of your life anymore. And you must now choose to walk into a life of abundance and victory in and through your life. And this is a great responsibility, but it's an amazing journey. And it's a constant battle that you and I enter into. And that's why I want to say to you, nothing has changed in God's approach to Abram than to you today. Because it says in the Bible, because of faith, to Abram, it was counted as righteousness. It was because of faith that Joseph could enter into his understanding of a relationship with God. Moses can talk to God, and so many others in the Old Testament, and walk into that place to say, listen, I need God desperately. And I want to say to you, for us today, that means that if we go into that promise, that place of a choice to enter into a deep relationship with Christ, that battle becomes a reality. Let's just quickly stand, because I want to just give you something before we pray for you tonight. You know, as we drove back from Antwerpen last night to here, or not back, as we drove here, we had one big issue, and that was our GPS. My mobile phone did not work so well because the battery died. Every time we just start to drive, then this thing would die on me, okay? I've had it plugged in, but clearly, you know, the power that it's, you know, using for the GPS is more than, you know, than it can give output to. And then every time this thing will die, and I always drive on the left end of, you know, the road, and now I must drive on the right end, and it's terrible because I'm so cautious now. You know, my wife said to me, please just look over your shoulder, because there's a few guys that already got very agitated because you are always, you know, pulling off on the left-hand side when, you know, you want people to come around when they are on speed. Okay, well, actually, you're supposed to, yeah, with you guys, allow people to come on the left-hand, eh? Passing you. So now I'm on this GPS, and this thing dies every time. You know what? Every time this thing dies, I must stop, because it's the first time that I'm driving in Europe. It means that there's no ways, looking at those signboards, that I will find my way to Utrecht. Okay, I am at least born in a generation where we are aware of GPSs and these very nice technological things. So what I want to tell you is, every time I must stop, dead stop, wait for the battery to recharge before I can move along and, you know, move towards Utrecht. The beauty of it for me was the fact that, is it not how we approach life? Is that many times the GPS dies on us, in us hearing. It's not as if the GPS is dead. Our batteries are just not allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us. But you know what we do? We just keep on driving. We just go on autopilot mode, where we just think, okay, I'll figure this one out as I go along. And you know what? The destination, even though your intentions is right, and even though you are doing amazing things, and you're driving on the right lane, and you get all of these nice traffic things right, and you've had your GB sticker on. I had to buy all those things coming here. I can do all of those things. But if I miss the coordinates I will end up at the wrong destination. The sad reality is there's many Christians that serves God well away from their GPS coordinates, because they're not allowing God to be the main source of their lives. What I want to bring to you today is, guys, either we're going to change and transform to the promises that God wants to bring in our lives, or we're going to end up at the wrong destination. But change is going to happen. The sad reality is, when you are at that place when you're missing the coordinates and the GPS is not on, you actually deceive yourself in thinking that you are hearing from God. And many Christians do. And I want to say to you, the beauty of it is that you and I must align ourselves to a place where God can start to fill our mouths. Listen to this verse, and I'm ending off with this. Can I just get some music, please? Yolandi, thanks. Psalm 81, verse 10. I'm the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I, not because of your amazing efforts, because you are so amazing, you are doing anything, I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. My message to you this afternoon is, stop following your stubborn heart. I often do. Then I must repent. I'm not exempt from this. I also live under the spiritual and physical laws and the consequences that it brings in my life. And I must deal with it. But the confrontation is, stop your stubborn heart and start to allow the Holy Spirit to come and fulfill His promises. He wants to fill your mouth. God wants to fill your mouth with His goodness, His blessings. He wants to come and fill you with the promises that He has for your life now, at this moment. Not one day, someday. That's how we as Christians live. One day we're going to do great things for God. Someday we're going to accomplish. Someday I'll be at that place where I can walk into God's provision. This place is a place of obedience. This is a place when God speaks, you enter into His promises and you say, God, I will not move from this place if you don't say what I should do next. This is a place where you and I basically say to one another, I cannot if God is not with me. This is a place where you and I walk into God's presence and we say, God, there's only one thing that is enough. And that is if the GPS is on. I want to be super spiritual about it this afternoon. I want to just ask you one question. Who's in control of your GPS coordinates? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus is not cross with you. He's not cross with you that you are in a sinful nature and that you are doing sin. Ouch. But He's crying over you because He can see the consequences and the devastation that it brings in your life. He's the one that cries over us and saying, my child, don't. I love you too much. I didn't make you to be stolen from. Sad reality is Satan will take advantage of every disobedient step that we take, because over that he is Lord. And the more room we give him, the more he will take, because he's a very busy master. I don't want him in my life. I want Jesus, because he knows what's best for me. Father, I sense your presence in this place. God, I bless you. You did not come to condemn this world, but to bring life in abundance. You want us to be free. Not free from the law, as much as you want us to be free to fulfill our destinies and purpose in you. And oh God, tonight we want to enter that place. While standing in this place this afternoon, I know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to some of you. I cannot make believers. I cannot bring healing in your life. This church cannot bring healing in your life, but Jesus can. While all eyes are closed, you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this afternoon, and he's saying to you, I love you, my child. Come back into my presence. Put on the GPS again so that we can journey together. I'm excited about the destination, as ever. If that is you this afternoon, I want you to reach up. Just put up your hand quickly. I don't want to expose you. This is between you and God. But this is so necessary. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. Anyone else? Please don't go out of this place without reaching out to Jesus. You know what? Life will keep you busy enough to distract you from committing to him. Thank you for that hand. Anyone else? Oh, Jesus. This is between you and Jesus. There's somebody here. Just this week you stood with a piece of clothing that you wanted to buy, and it's as if the Holy Spirit dropped something in your heart and saying, why do you desire the flesh so much? Come back to me. Wants to tonight reach out to you and say he loves you. He didn't say that to condemn you. He said it because he realized that you might think that that's the fulfillment of life. And he's reaching out to you and he's saying to you, come and connect to my heart. There's someone here tonight, you struggle with sleep. It's as if things are haunting you at night, and it's not even super frightening spiritual stuff. It's just your mind cannot come to sleep. And tonight God wants to just touch you. Amen. Thanks. Praise God. There's a person here that's almost like Daniel going to the Daniels, to the lion's den. You know, you really want to do what's right, but you feel that in the workplace you've been ostracized, you've been broken down, you've been trampled on because of your belief. And God is here tonight to bring hope to you. He's saying, my child, I've locked the mouths of the lion. How will I not come and silence every voice that's coming against you? If God is speaking to you tonight, then I want you to quickly, if you've raised your hands, you know, just come and stand here in front. It's not to expose you. Please hear my heart tonight. We're not here to get numbers responding or whatever. We want healing, because healing is going to take the enemy away from you to a place where you can fulfill the destiny that God has for your life. And I want you to quickly just come to the front, and we're going to just basically anoint you. I don't have the power to release any healing over your life, but I can anoint you and consecrate you to the will of the Father, and so that he can reach out to you. If you've raised your hand tonight, just quickly come to the front. I don't care if you've been a Christian for long, just quickly come.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.